Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 8. In verse 29, the Word of God says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." This passage is referring to one of the most fundamental truths in the Bible. And what sometimes we don't realize is that it's actually ultimately referring to our position before God. Every believer must be aware of their eternal position. All too often we're not. But in order to be successful with God, responsive to God, in order to relate correctly to God, we have to be intimately aware of our eternal position. Many of our problems come from the fact that we are disoriented to our eternal position before God. One of the biggest reasons why that happens is because their experience and their position don't line up. In other words, they're not experiencing their position. Albeit they possess it, they don't experience it in the details of their life. The biggest reason why they don't experience it in the details of their life is because they're thinking improperly in some aspect that relates to their position. So for a few minutes, we're going to talk about our eternal position. Without this understanding, it will be difficult for us to experience who we actually are. In Romans chapter 8 there, in that passage, the Word of God tells us really about our lives. The whole purpose of our lives is to be conformed to the image of God's Son. That is talking about our position. Our ultimate position is that we are the image of God's Son. Now, the word conformed is the word sumorphos, and it means the same image, but really it means united in nature and form. We have been predestinated by God from the foundation of the world to be united with Christ in nature and form. Well, this takes us back to Ephesians 2:15 and 16, that we have been predestinated to become the one new man, and that it would take place at the cross. This is our very purpose, to bring us to the place of being the one new man with Christ at the cross. Now, in position, that takes place at the point of salvation. But in experience, well, that's really what our lives are about. Our lives are about conforming our experience to our position. We are, in fact, becoming who we are. But that process of becoming who we are can take some time because we come into this with a lot of worldly baggage, with a lot of natural baggage. And as we mature in Christ, as we continue with Christ, as we grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ, all this baggage is progressively being taken off of us. And we increasingly manifest who we actually are in our position with Christ. This is why the things that take place in our lives take place. We don't necessarily understand how A will equal Z, how we get from one to the other. But we do have the assurance in the Word of God that we will get to the final destination point. In other words, God's objective with us will be met. He orders our steps. He orchestrates our circumstances. He even orders the things that we may consider to be horrible in our lives. And He allows these things with His final destination in mind. Whatever terrible thing may have happened, or whatever good thing may have happened, it has the same objective as far as God goes. Remember, all things are from God in 2 Corinthians 5:18. And so all these things are working together in verse 28 of Romans 8 for our benefit. And then in 29, it continues as to what that benefit is, to be conformed into the form and nature of Christ, to become the one new man in our experience, not just our position. The word image there is eikonos. And it's the genitive singular masculine of eikon. And it's used of Christ as the very image of God in Colossians 1:15 and 2 Corinthians 4:4. It's from the word echo, and what it literally means is statue profile. So what he's saying is, we are being united in form and nature to be a statue profile of our Savior. So that when people see us, they're looking at God. Not in our efforts, in our own self-consciousness, and some sort of a vague concept of what it means to appear like God to somebody else. We can go there in our minds if we're a little bit immature. But simply because our lives reflect Christ, simply because we are experiencing the oneness of the new man with Christ, people see Christ. Have you met people who you could see Christ in them? I think most of us have once in a blue moon. We see somebody, we don't necessarily know them, but we see the reflection of Christ in them. That person is a statue profile of Christ. This is what He's conforming us into. That He might be the firstborn among many brethren, and whom He did predestinate, predetermined beforehand, them He also called, and whom He called He justified, and whom He justified He also glorified. There's our position. Understand something. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We, as the one new man with Christ in our position, are the same yesterday, today, and forever. If a person is born again, that person is presently raised together with Christ in heavenly places. That is the reality of it right now. Now, regardless of their experience, every born-again believer is seated in heavenly places in Christ, because every born-again believer is part, a member in particular, of the one new man. The Word of God says in Isaiah 66:1, that heaven is God's throne and the earth is His footstool. As the body of Christ, heaven is our throne. Our position is above. Our position is not below. The earth is the footstool. That's talking about the experience. Where we walk and where we sit are two different places. We're seated above in Christ. We're seated, so we are resting. In Leviticus 16, our seat in Christ is the mercy seat. And we know that because that is the seat that has the blood on it. Whereas when it relates to Christ as part of the one new man, his portion of the one new man, his seat is called the throne of grace in Hebrews 4:16. But as relates to us, as part of his body, it is the mercy seat. We're seated above in heavenly places in the mercy seat. And God meets us at the mercy seat. And that's why we are at the right hand of God. Because we are at the mercy seat. The earth is our footstool. That means that my experience is planted here on the earth. It is my footstool. But heaven is my resting place. This is my position. Jesus said to Peter at the Last Supper when he was washing their feet, if a man has been cleansed, he only needs to wash his feet. And then all of him is clean. And what it's talking about again is our experience. If a person is cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, then they need the water of the Word of God to make them clean in their experience. And this is what the Word of God does for us. It causes our experience to conform to our position. Now, please understand something. When I teach on things like this, do not take them simply as theological teaching. If all you receive from a message like this is theological information, then you may as well just watch the ball game on TV. This is not simply theological information. This is the reality of who you are. Please understand that. This is the reality of who you are. Too many Christians live in an identity crisis, and they don't even know it. Because too many Christians don't know who they actually are. This is how God defines each and every one of us. This is how He defines you. You're seated above in heavenly places. Right now, in Christ, on the mercy seat, at the right hand of God, this is where you are. This is your position. It doesn't make a hill of beans of difference if you are unable to experience this. God says, this is your position. This is the truth about you. You're seated above in heavenly places. Think about what that means for you. All the things that take place here on earth, what significance do they really have? If your neighbor is difficult, or your boss, or the person that you work with is very pleasant, what difference does either one of them really make in the long run, in the eternal perspective of things? It doesn't make any difference. Your circumstances really don't make any difference. Your circumstances are simply hammers and chisels and saws and whatever in the hands of God. This is the only significance of the people and the circumstances that you deal with. If it's a difficult circumstance, maybe God is trying to chisel you into grace. If it's a pleasant circumstance, maybe God is smoothing out what has already been chiseled. One way or another, He's turning you into the statue profile of Christ. Because he's turning you into what you actually are as the one new man, and he wants you to be that in your experience also. This is reality. One of the reasons why Christians struggle is because they are disoriented to reality. But if you actually believe who you are, you could never have another negative moment in your life. If you actually believe who you are, a negative word could never pass through your lips. If you actually believe who you are, a negative thought could never enter into your mind. Because you are the one new man with Christ, currently sitting in the throne room of God, in the mercy seat aspect of the throne of grace. And you are at the right hand of the Father. Tell me what's negative about that. Tell me what is difficult or challenging about that. Tell me what is difficult to overcome when this is where you are. Do you see the whole thing about the thinking? Do you see where the thought life is so important to guard? Do you see those right thoughts actually change everything? The right thoughts actually change everything. Your experience is based in your perceptions. The perceptions come out of the mental functions. So if your experience is not lining up with your position, the problem lies within your perception. The Word of God is all about our perceptions. This is why God wants us to have the mind of Christ, so that we have the right perceptions, and within the right perceptions, we'll gain the right experiences. Now, the Word of God says in Romans 6:23, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Life there is Zoe." The wages of a lack of faith in Romans 14:23 is death. But the gift of God. Alright, so we have two things. We have what we have entered into through the fall. We have the death of the natural man. But the gift of God to us within that condition is the eternal quality of God's life. If a person wraps their minds around this, life will be revolutionized. That natural thinking is overcome by the gift of God. And the way that I enter into that eternal life is through what Christ did for me. Let me ask you, how would you describe the quality of your life? Be honest in your own heart. How would you describe the quality of your own life? Are you content with where it is? Do you think I have a life that is overflowing in abundance? Do you think I have peace that passes all understanding? Do you think I am victorious and I am an overcomer in all circumstances, in all things? They don't affect me, they don't move me. Or do you think something less than that? If you think anything less than that, and you're being honest, then I dare say that there's an element that's not lined up to reality. You're misaligned. It's like a person whose back is misaligned. A chiropractor goes and he puts it back in alignment again. And they have a good deal of pain if the back isn't quite properly aligned. And it's difficult perhaps for them to walk. Well, isn't that the same thing for the believer? They're a little bit misaligned. Things are difficult for them. God says they are more than overcomers, but things are difficult for them. Natural mind comes in, but they have the mind of Christ. But the natural mind comes in and takes over and sometimes overcomes the mind of Christ. Situations move them. They're swayed perhaps in their emotions or in their insecurity or their self-image. And they are swayed perhaps by what people say or what people do. Well, if that is the case, we're misaligned. That is not reality. That is being misaligned from reality. That is a place where you're not grasping things correctly as they actually are. And this is why your skewed perceptions are giving you a skewed experience that does not reflect the eternal position that you are currently in. It's like a king who lives like a pauper because he doesn't know he's a king. Can you imagine, for example, somebody gives you an inheritance of $50 million, but nobody tells you and you're working at a fast food joint and that is your living and you're living on fast food joint wages and you actually have $50 million sitting in your account, but you don't know it and you live like a pauper? Well, this is what's happening to believers all over the place. Because they are misaligned to reality, because their thinking is not purely according to the Word of God, they still think there is some sort of merit in their deception. People love their deception. And I don't mean they love it in terms of affection, I mean they love it as in their unmerited patience and in fact kindness accepting that deception. And it's not merited. It's the same kind of an idea as love not the world. Don't give the world unmerited patience and kindness, the world's system, the world's way of doing things. Well, sometimes there's a deception in my life and I give it unmerited time, unmerited patience, unmerited energy exhausted toward that in thinking about it and so on. And it doesn't merit it. But they love the deception in that sense. And the fact of the matter is that it's not doing them any favors. It's preventing them from experiencing this overwhelming victory that comes with their position. And they can't actually experience their position because they've embraced the deception in their perceptions. So their perception is deceived. And their experience is less than it ought to be. Don't say to yourself, my thoughts are on the same level as God's thoughts. And we don't say that literally to ourselves, but this is how we really live sometimes. We put the same emphasis and the same weight on our thoughts and our emotions, on our experiences, on the things that are natural that we put on the Word of God. And sometimes you put more weight on those things than we put on the Word of God. And we wonder why it's not working for us. Why am I bored with the Word of God? Because you think your natural life is anywhere near what the Word of God is, and actually you think it's better. Well, you're utterly deceived. And the rest of your day, or your week, or what have you, reflects this. And the fact is that a person like that is totally misaligned to reality. Because they're not living in the victorious experience of their position. They're seated above in heavenly places. One with Christ Himself. One with Christ Himself. Boy, if you would believe that, your life would be totally turned around. Just that one portion, just that one verse, if people actually believe that, their lives would be completely different than they actually are. One with Christ Himself. This is who you are. Yeah, ho-hum. You're already dead. Now it's time to get alive. They embrace the deception and they live as though they have no victory. Well, that's because the deception that comes from the deceiver has robbed them of their victory. You're one with Christ. In heaven at the moment, right now, that's you, seated above in heavenly places, and only your feet are upon the earth. Have you ever considered why it is that humans are the only true, proper, upright standing creatures? Most mammals, at least, are four-legged. And their head is level to their body. And they're following after their head, but always going horizontally. We are the only ones who are even created in our physical being to be oriented vertically with our head above our body. And somebody out there, no doubt, will say, well, what about a giraffe? Just because it has a long neck doesn't mean it has the right orientation. We're the only ones who stand that way. Where our legs hold us up, our feet are upon the earth, but the rest of us is above our feet. The rest of us is pointing to our head. And when we walk together with our head. We don't walk following behind our head. We walk together with our head. And this is because God has made even our physical body to reflect the position of who we actually are. Now the Word of God says in 1 John 1:9 that if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That word forgive literally says God obliterates our sins from eternal existence. Pastor Stevens used to call this retropositional truth, that God changes everything about us, including in the past. That truth is retropositional. This is classic creation relativity. This is the classic reality of what it means that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, that we are in Christ, therefore we are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And if there has ever been, or is now, or ever will be, any form of sin in my life, it is utterly obliterated, and it is obliterated within eternity, and that's my position. He that is born of God sins not. And then people will say, well, if you say you have no sin, there is no truth in you. That's true. Every single man has sinned. All have fallen short of the glory of God. Yet not one born-again believer possesses a single sin. because it is obliterated by the blood of Christ from eternity. And since Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the blood of Christ is not a historical truth. The blood of Christ is a present reality. We need to get out of this linear thinking of time if we're to understand eternal truths, including our eternal position. Time, Albert Einstein showed us, is not linear. Only within a single frame of reference is it linear. But as Einstein showed us, there are countless frames of reference, and time is different in each one of them. Well, in eternity is where we have our seat, at the mercy seat. That's where we are currently sitting, on the mercy seat at the right hand of God. This is an eternal reality. If we are on the right hand of God, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and if we are the one new man, and Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, then we have been the one new man and are and always will be yesterday, today, and forever. These are eternal realities. You have an eternal position. Your position did not change at any point. Your position always has been. And sometimes people will say, yes, but I remember before I was saved. Yes, I remembered when I was in sin. Yes, I remember this, that, and the other. That's only because your thinking has not been brought into alignment with what God has declared, and what God has declared is reality. You are thinking outside of reality. Reality is that in Galatians 2:20 you've been crucified with Christ, and nevertheless you live, but it's not you that lives, it's Christ that lives in you. Reality is that for you to live is Christ. Reality is that you live as the one new man, and the one new man is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This is your position. What is your experience? Is this your experience? If it isn't, you're misaligned to truth. You're misaligned to reality. And people say, well, how do I get back into alignment with reality? By having a faith response to the full counsel of the Word of God. Not evaluating it in your intellect, you have none. You may think you have, but the wisdom of the world is foolishness to God. You have no intellect in and of yourself. The only way for a person to have any kind of an intellect is not to have a high IQ. The only way for a person to have any kind of intellect is to believe the Word of God and respond to it if they want wisdom. He predestinated us in Ephesians 1:5, unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. According to the good pleasure of His will. In Revelation 4:11, you were created for God's good pleasure. God's good pleasure is not your perfection. God's good pleasure is not the fact that you don't sin necessarily. God hates sin, but that's not His good pleasure. God's good pleasure in Ezekiel 33:11. Is when the wicked turn from their wicked ways and live. Therein is God's good pleasure. That is to say, that God's good pleasure is when He can manifest His character toward you, and it starts with long-suffering patience, which is the practical expression of mercy, and unyielding kindness, which is the practical expression of grace. Your position in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8 is that you are in Christ experiencing the fullness of God's kindness and the riches of His kindness. That's your position. You are made to experience the riches of God's kindness. Now let me ask you, in the practical details of your life, can you say that you are experiencing the riches of God's kindness on a moment-by-moment basis? If you do not, why not? If you do not, then it's exclusively because you are misaligned to your position. You are misaligned to reality. And it's not the reality of who God is, it's the reality of who you are. How do I align to that? Believe the Word of God. People say they believe, but they don't believe. They accept the reality of it, but there is no practical assimilation. And so it never profits them, because they haven't mixed faith with what they heard. They simply recognized that it's truth. But there was no heart response. Not in as much as, oh, I'll do that. Not even in as much as, I'll believe that. But in as much as, I will accept that. And I will incorporate that in my frame of reference. Do you understand that what you're being given right now is the ultimate key to victory? Whatever your problems happen to be, this is the key to a victorious life. It's right here. But yet I'm sure that people will hear this message on the internet and they'll walk away and it'll be the same old, same old. Why? Lack of belief, lack of humility? I don't know. Any number of reasons. Satan steals it out of their heart. Familiarity? Any number of reasons. But you're being given the keys of victory. Why do you think it is? In 1 John 4:17, that the Word of God says, as He is, so are you in this present world. This is talking about your position right now. Your position right now. As He is, so are we in this present world. When the Word of God gives you definition, it's not definition for, oh, when I get to heaven. And it's not definition, oh, this is the theology of things to be a good religious boy or girl. This is the definition of how things actually are, regardless of how you may think they are. This is what God defines. And He says, as He is, so are you in this present world. That means that I can have the fullness of the experience of the fullness of my position right now. I don't have to wait. I don't have to undergo a process. I simply have to believe. I believe the Word of God. I believe what God says about me. I believe that I am seated above in heavenly places. I believe that I am accepted in the Beloved. I believe that God fights my battles. I believe that I am the bride of Christ. I believe that I am one with Christ. I believe all the things the Word of God says about me. I believe that I am in sinless perfection, even though I can point to times when I sin. I believe all that God said about me, all that God has done for me and is still doing for me, and I believe the reality of what God said is in fact reality. And it doesn't take but a moment to believe. I simply choose. And people will say something like, well, it's not such an easy choice. And they'll point to history, or what have you, upbringing, surrounding, situation, people. And the fact of the matter is that any amount of baggage that I may be carrying, I can drop at any moment. All too often, our baggage is familiar to us, or worse, entertains our old sin nature. And so I won't drop it, saying, well, it's far more complicated than that. But then you put that very same person in the right circumstance where all of a sudden, for example, maybe they feel their life is in imminent danger, and man, they believe with no problem. Because finally, their pride is put down to where they can make a decision. And their circumstance humbles them. And they start believing by choice. Everybody believes or disbelieves by choice. When you accepted Christ, you chose. It never changed. You chose grace. It's never changed. You chose the mercy of God. It's never changed. When a person thinks it's changed, in Galatians, Paul called them foolish. But the reality is that I simply believe. That's it. But if I don't have the Word of God, I don't have anything to believe. And so faith comes by hearing. And hearing comes by the Word. And it gives me something to believe. And if it's the Word of God, it gives me reality. And reality teaches me that I'm the beloved of God. Reality teaches me that I'm more than victorious. Reality teaches me that nothing can separate me from the love of God. Do you believe that? Let me put it this way, much more simple. Do you believe God loves you? Because I will guarantee you that many Christians would say, in truth, if they're being honest, no, I don't. Well, you're misaligned with reality. Because God actually loves you. Just as you are. That's reality. This is why He would become one new man with you, as you are, because He loves you, and in doing so, has completely cleansed you from all unrighteousness. And so your practical reality is, you are clean. Amen.